You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to the Nature Connection Show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. I'm Sarah Turner, and I'm delighted to welcome today to Nature Connections Nalini of Chalice of Wisdom. Nalini is a transformational seer and wisdom carrier. Welcome to the Nature Connections, Nalini.
Thank you for having me here, Sarah.
Yes, I've been looking forward to our speaking today, and I just know that the next 30 minutes or so is going to be an absolute delight of nature wisdom and deep, deep understanding of what we are actually now going through on this beautiful planet that we live on, the transformation that is happening on so many levels, and how we as humans, as the two-leggeds, are actually how we can be of best service. So maybe would you like to share with us a little bit about your work and how, so that people can understand what you do?
Surely. Well, when I understand what I do, I'll let you all know. The wisdom that comes through me is directly from source, directly from our great mother. It's not channeling per se. It is just a flow of wisdom, as any wisdom carrier from any tradition will tell you. It's not about the person. It's not about the two-legged ego. It really is about the connection to the all, to the unity field within which we all live. And when it comes to the connection with Gaia, with nature, and what we're going through right now, it really has to do with listening. You know, any carrier of wisdom is a good listener, at least we aspire to that. And having the currents that come through, very often they don't come through as words, they don't come through as our native languages, so to speak, but they come through as feelings. And so much, well, in any part of the world, I can't really sort any out. We've lost the capacity as a two-legged species to really listen, to really feel through our bones, through the soles of our feet. You know, it is said in one of the Celtic traditions that I've studied, the stars are in the stones and the stones are in the stars. And we find that in the green world, in nature as well, where all of nature, the whole of the field, speaks to itself constantly. The music of the spheres, the sounds, the singing of our lovely planet that we live on. And so that really is the voice that speaks through me as me. It's not separate. It's not a channel. But it's very much definitely not about this little person. It has to do, you know, with the larger voices that are at play. So in answer to your question about what do I do, that's pretty much it. It's what that voice does as I allow it to move through me.
Yeah, it's very beautiful what you're saying. Yeah, I know from the work that I've done with you and the connections that I've had with you and your work that you're very much about helping us all to see how we do come from this very divine place, that we are all are part of Gaia, yet we all are here to express our own true expression of that.
Yes, exactly. Well, if we take nature as an example, you know, the famous Japanese expression that of cherry blossoms, you know, you could spend an entire lifetime looking for one that's perfect, when the truth is they're all perfect. Where we look at each plant, each tree, there is not one millimeter of bark or leaf or fruiting or flowering that is identical, and yet they're all part of this beautiful whole. They're all perfect. That amazing, diverse expression of source. Now, we are each divine. Everything is divinity, even the dung beetle, you know. Yeah. It has its purpose in the divine plan. And so, yes, it's very much that, very much speaking to that connection.
And when we look at to nature as our teachers as well of that, I always find it totally fascinating that, let's take for example the flowers, they have this clearly no self of self-comparison. They just are their beautiful selves. They open their blossoms to their colours, to their shapes, and they are just truly beautiful. Whereas as humans, we just get all tangled up in all sorts of stuff, don't we?
Yes, we do. We do. In one of the homes I've lived in throughout this life, I had a rose garden, of course. And I used to love the various roses, all the different colors, the different, as all the plants actually, but the way that even when one would get hit with a late frost or, you know, some infestation, even that, even the slight browning or the wrinkling of one of the petals would make that flower so special.
Yeah.
And as you say, the flower just blooms. It just gives of itself because that is its nature. And that actually is our nature. When we are just filled up, when we are that chalice of divinity, then we give automatically. We are the best gift that we can be when we allow ourselves to be that, just like that rose or that daisy or, you know, the bindweed that we just talked with on our full moon call or any of those. It just is its essential nature and does not compare, doesn't contrast, doesn't try to seek to be better than another. It knows itself. It knows its purpose. It is divine intelligence in action. And when we allow ourselves to be that, so are we.
Yes. Yes. What a special teacher she is. What a very special teacher. And obviously nature on our planet is very easy for most of us, in fact all of us, to connect with. Even if we can't go outside, we can connect with images that we usually have within our own space. But also that we have this larger part of the earth, the seasons and the lunar cycles, which I know are also our teachers, and they're also part of your work, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Very definitely. We do new moon and full moon telegatherings each month. What we call a month, you know, the lunar cycles, but different than that. And these have to do with allowing that reflected starlight. You know, lunar light is reflected starlight. Our day star, our sun, is a star. And this is one of the sources of the fire element. It's one of the sources of prana, chi, life force, whatever we'd like to call it. And that reflected light has a very large effect, as we know from our sciences, not just on the tides and the tides of our bodies. Our bodies are 90% water. And not just that, but of the reflected light. So we can look at that lunar cycle and observe, like at the dark of the moon or the new moon, what is seeding, what is being planted within us, not just in our outdoor world, what we call our outdoor world because we live in these boxes, but not just there, but within ourselves. What is being seeded? What is being put in to be fed and watered and nurtured that then at a full moon, we will get the first fruitings, you know, very similar to the lunar cycle of the solar wheel that we just celebrated. The first fruitings, the first harvest, where the fruit is on the tree and we can see, not just in nature, but within ourselves, oh, if we're paying attention, if we're observing, here's what's beginning to fruit and blossom in my life. And sometimes with the odd weather patterns, it happens at the same time. It's the most extraordinary thing to see an apple tree with fruit and blossom all at the same time, you know, out of the norm. But nature adapts. And so do we. So it's seeing that first fruiting of what comes from within us. This is what is showing up, in other words, in our bodies, in our lives. Not just what we observe on the tree, but the tree that we are. Mm. And then as we move into the gibbous moon, the waning, the harvest moon, the composting moon, in all different terms, where the fruit just simply falls into your hand. You know, when it's ripe, it's like, what is falling into our hands? What are we receiving that will then flow through us? You know, not to be kept and held on to and hoarded, although we certainly should enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, the gifts from spirit are to be enjoyed. Just every last delicious little morsel, and then, you know, don't eat the wrapper, let it go. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have you ever eaten a Mars bar wrapper? Ew. Not yet, anyway. No, exactly. I wouldn't recommend it. But like that, like just enjoy and then let it move through. And so these are what we celebrate in our lunar cycle gatherings are these things, these energies, plus whatever is being reflected with the astronomical or astrological alignment, just the energies present. You know, what is nature offering us? And we do the same with the solar cycles. As mentioned, we just celebrated Lunasa, which we celebrate on the exact cross quarter, which is 15 degrees of the astrological sign between the equinox and the solstice, not necessarily the traditional day, although one can certainly celebrate that as well. And these are the solar alignments where our day star has a specific positioning and allows a certain energy literally to come through from our galactic center, which is how our solar system, our galaxy, receives the cosmic impulses, the impulses from source. And this is just life force energy that comes in a specific flavor or tonality or feeling, and we have the opportunity to receive it with a deeper, perhaps, receptivity at those times. So those are what those cyclic gatherings are about.
And what I've always found as well, and I think it was probably the reason I found you quite a few years ago, is because one of the things that changed me in my life was when I started to live my life according to the seasons. And I started to, for example, I didn't like winter. I mean, lots of people don't, but I started to see winter through completely different eyes. And she taught me so much. So I think it's doing this work is a lovely, lovely way of connecting us back to the cycles within us, without us, to connecting us back to our planet.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And each season, you know, we are so fortunate that we have seasons. It's Gaia's tilt on her axis that provides those. You know, it just, we're so fortunate to have the turning. And it's funny, when I relocated from the UK to California many, many years ago, I thought, oh, yeah, like you, I'm finished with winter. I found my temperate zone. I really like it here. It has more sun. I'm done with the bloody rain and all of that. And, well, the funniest thing is that, you know, there's quite a bit of rain actually in Northern California as well. And up the coast, but then having relocated to where I am now in the Rocky Mountains, I have actually, as you have, embraced the winter. We have quite a bit of it here. And just lately, what are called black-eyed Susans, it's a flower that's like a daisy, but it's yellow-petaled and has a black scent. Yes. And they have just come out. They're a late summer, early fall flower, and they cover anywhere that they're allowed to, anywhere that they can possibly make an inroad, they will grow here. And it's such a lovely emblem of the sun. You know, it's a sun-based flower. And the roots, though, the indigenous have always used for healing, but healing of the what we would call fall onset or wind onset illnesses that come, you know, the respiratory things. And it's quite interesting that nature just provides, you know, just as the season begins to turn, here's this lovely flower whose roots, the upper portion of the flower is not terribly ingestible by humans or four-legged, but the root is quite healing, very much like echinacea. And so I started here to begin to really feel into a different pool of the seasons, and to really appreciate that winter season as well, that in the Northern Hemisphere is coming upon us, even though we're in high summer now. You know, that shifting, because it is our natural rhythm. And if we relax into, especially from an energy or a health perspective, this is the shift. These are the seasonal fruits and flowers. These are the seasonal vegetables. This is what is actually healthy and wonderful for us at this time, then we actually are moving into the divine nature of our bodies, which were created from Gaia. They are of this world.
Yeah, yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful connection back to to how we all live together, and that's so much a symptom of what is not happening right now when we turn on the television or listen to the news, etc., etc. Maybe we could talk a little bit about the transformational times that we are living in right now, and could you talk to us a little bit about how you feel how Gaia, the Earth, is speaking to us, and how we can best live alongside this and not be too filled with any angst at what we see going on around us?
Yes, exactly. Well, as you're well aware, and many others are, we as bipeds have created a lot of what's going on through various things that we won't go into. But the way to harmonize that within ourselves and, as you say, live alongside it, the crazy weather patterns that are happening, which really, the perspective that comes through my being of that is one could look at it and think, oh, you know, nature is lashing back. That's silly. That's just silly. Gaia is doing what she needs to balance. And the jet stream has an effect. The North Atlantic current has an effect. These things all affect that. And what happens is these currents move along what we might call magma rifts in our ocean floors, the fault lines, and these are all shifting. You know, the elementals are adjusting, actually, from my perspective, to balance what needs balancing, regardless of what has been done or how it has been done. It really, at this point, it's not useful to point fingers. It really is more useful to observe, this is how the balancing is happening, and simply ride that, just feel that energy. So, you know, this summer in the mountains, we've had these daily freak thunderstorms. That does happen here, but not every day for months. And so this is something where one could get upset at the mud, one could get upset at all of that going on, but instead it's listening to it and watching it and thinking, especially here where it's quite dry, oh my goodness, the trees are getting watered in a way that they haven't for years. There is a balancing happening here. The creeks are rushing and quite swift and quite full, which normally at this time of year they would not be. This is a gift of the water element and the rumblings of the earth, the eruptions. This is a gift of the fire element to balance. So if we can simply go with it, instead of trying to master it or dictate to it, I looked at an article the other day saying, well, perhaps in this country, perhaps we should give the Mississippi River Valley back to the river. And my reaction was, yay! You know, I mean, how silly of us to build on a floodplain.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. And as bipeds, we require a riparian environment. We require rivers, actually, to live. And why not let that literally take its course, follow whatever channel it needs to? Is it going to, quote-unquote, destroy some things that humans have built? Well, likely, but are we not good at that? Are we not industrious little beavers, and do we not build all the time? And can we not recover from that? But wouldn't it be better to let this happen, let the river take its land, as whatever it needs to do to balance, or let the sea levels that are rising, which, you know, is going to have consequences down the line, but let that happen and be grateful for the balancing rather than for what might be called destruction. And I was meditating on the Hawaiian Islands some years ago, and I was having a meditation with Pele, just, you know, to have a chat. And she showed me, or the magma showed me, that what we might call destruction is creating new land. Mm-hmm. And it was a completely different perspective. So a lot of what will help us is that shift in perception. You know, it's not a crisis of perception. It's a very much needed shift that we are residents here. We are guests here. And it would be good to sort of roll with what our hostess is providing and appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, it's a really good way of remembering the truth, really, of what is.
Yeah.
Really good. And also just to see the reflections in the work that I do, and I'm sure in what you do as well. We're meeting now a lot of people who are feeling the energies flow through them, and they don't understand what it is that's flowing through. So the words they might use are, I feel anxious, I feel disconnected, mm-hmm. I feel lonely, I'm depressed, you know, all of those things.
Right.
But when we understand how the energies of Gaia affect us, it helps enormously, doesn't it?
It really does. And what really helps is to have contact with her. You know, put the soles of your feet on the earth, unless, of course, it's freezing. Put your tailbone on the earth. This helps to me so much. The tailbone, the sits bones, is just even for a few minutes on a rock, a stone, or on the earth, and just feel what's going on and let that balance, let all those excess nervous energies just drain into the earth. She considers them fertilizer. So it's, you know, it doesn't have to be quite that enervating to our systems as it sometimes can be.
Yes, I remember a few years ago walking through our local park, and one of the trees invited me to go for a daily attunement by sitting on her trunk.
Yes.
And I thought, we all know what a Reiki attunement is, or most of us do, and how cool, you know, just to go and get this daily from your local park or your local tree.
Yes. Exactly. Or just, we all know the relief and the relaxation of putting our back up against the trunk of a tree. Yeah, exactly. Or sitting in the middle, perhaps in our back garden, of just whatever is planted there. Mm-hmm. And so nature so wants to support us through this. She's just there offering all the time, constantly.
She is, isn't she?
Yes.
She most definitely is. So could we come back to a little bit to the lunar cycles at the moment? Because I know we're just in the centre of three supermoons, and we've just had, as far as I'm aware, the second one, and we had one last month and another one to come next month.
Yes.
And how that, because I know you're very, very in tune with the astrology, the planets and nature. You have this extraordinary gift of putting everything together. So... Could you talk to us a little bit about the specific time that we're in now and how the supermoons are actually there to support and guide us?
Yes, absolutely. Well, as you know, the supermoons mean that the moon's orbit is the closest, etc. You know, the moons appear largest and they have the most pull on the tides, meaning our energies. Now, Gaia is actually a water world, even though we don't seem to think so because we're not amphibian. But this supermoon transit really gives us a spotlight. If you think of that beautiful orb, that silvery light, just shining a spotlight on whatever needs to be shone upon, you know, whatever it is in our lives, our gardens, etc., we will have that spotlight. And it is bringing up all kinds of things from this life, from other lives. The thing is not to get thrown by that, not to get really thrown off balance, but to allow that beautiful downpour of light to do the balancing. It's nothing we need to do or really even know how ourselves. Just let that light do the balancing of whatever it is that might need balancing in that moment and through the cycle. And it really has to do with releasing all of the last bits of what we have called duality out of ourselves, which is how it will leave this world. So we can use that light to help us to shine that light in the full moons on whatever it is that we most need to see. And in the dark of the moon, it gives an opportunity to see what we can't see when all the lights are on. Mm-hmm. And what's maybe not so obvious. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a huge time for really seeing, really looking at what's up, but also what's coming, the gifts that are coming in.
And could you share with us a little bit about what is coming towards us?
Well, what I perceive through that cycle at the moment are just these, it is a huge flowering of balance within ourselves. And in a way, we tend to think of balance as this stable position, you know, the fulcrum and what balances upon it. It's not that. It's stability within motion. You know, we're in a very quick transit here. So what's coming through is grace, ease, a comforting, a soothing. And as the sort of crunchiness and choppiness increases through the equinox and the solstice in December, what's happening with these lunar cycles is they're giving the ease, sort of giving the balm, like a nice cup of tea in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that you can do it. You can make it through this. Here's the current that will carry you. Here's the light that is available. It's a big releasing time. And this light supports that very, very, very greatly.
Mm. It's beautiful. And it just reminds me of something that I heard Steve Johnson of the Alaskan Essences saying a few years ago. He's made environmental essences near, I don't think literally on the volcanoes, but in the vicinity of volcanoes. And what he shared, which I thought was extraordinary, is when the volcanoes in Alaska begin to move, they emit a soothing vibration.
Yes.
And everybody feels it.
Yes.
It's like, yes, I'm changing, but it's okay.
Exactly. It's exactly that. And that's what these lunar cycles, especially the supermoons, are providing for us. Like, yes, this is massive change. Massive. And yet, it's okay. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, what's new is coming, is unscripted. The grace that is coming through this is, I don't even have a word for it, unprecedented in my experience anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's been really, really good to connect with you today and to, from my point of view, allow other people to hear what you're doing and to share the most beautiful transformation that you offer through your work. So would you like to tell everybody how they can find out more through your new website?
Oh, certainly, yes. The new website is chaliceofwisdom, all one word, .com. And we have a calendar where we have our gatherings posted. We also have a newsletter, which is called Currents or sometimes Beacons. And there is a sign-up page where you can be on the mailing list to receive those. There's no system to when they come out. We very much follow the cycles. But that's the best way. And it really is just about this, about the divinity and the unity within us all and making that more available. The transmissions that come through really do the transformation. I'm the stem and she is the blossom.
And they're all done online, aren't they?
Yes, they're all done online. They can be done through webcast or through Skype, all through a teleconference service. So they're available all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Very, very easy to access. And you have, as you said before, two lunar cycle celebrations right now.
Yes, each month,
mm-hmm. Yep.
New moon and full moon, and then we do all of the 8 solar cycles in the wheel of the year as well.
And you also have the larger cycles as well, your galactic cycles, don't you?
We are doing the galactic cycles. Those get prompted directly by source or from things which actually are part of our solar system, like the Uranus-Pluto squares. We'll be doing some things around that. The last two are coming up of this long cycle we've been in. And so she's asked me to do some transmissions on those. So that, looking forward, we don't know exactly what they'll be, but should be fun.
Absolutely. Well, I encourage everybody listening to go and have a look at Nalini's work. It's, if you're looking for support around transformation, it's a beautiful energy to connect with. And I've been really, really honored to speak to you today and share all that you do, Nalini, with everybody listening.
Oh, and with you as well, Sarah. Everything that you do with the floral allies and the moon essences is just lovely. Such a help.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, thank you for sharing yourself with us today.
And you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.